Today we celebrate the Feast of Divine Love. That is the Feast of Corpus Christi. The Church puts before us the great mystery of the Blessed Sacrament of the Altar. And our hearts glory in the love that Jesus has for the Church in not abandoning her. For the Eucharist is the great, priceless treasure which Christ Himself has given to us. That you and I in the Eucharist gaze upon the very one that the angels adore in heaven. And by looking upon Him in the Eucharist who was pierced for our sins, we contemplate not only His Eucharistic face, but the face of God the Father. For the Lord Himself said, "Whoever sees me sees the Father." And what do we discover as we look upon the face of Christ in the Eucharist, but the great ravaging love that God has for us? I often like to sit on my balcony at the rectory, watching as parishioners come in and out of our parish adoration chapel. And it moves my priestly heart immensely to see a community that is so in love with our Eucharistic Lord, that so many of you already would commit an hour of your week to be with Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, and there to discover the peace that only Christ can give. If only more souls knew that Christ is a prisoner of love in our tabernacle in every Catholic church. It's the greatest secret that mankind has, that God is with us in the Eucharist. Think, just 2 weeks ago, over 84,000 people packed Mile High Stadium for a Garth Brooks concert. Lucky them. I wish I could have been there. But we have something far greater. Could you imagine if everyone in Denver knew the truth of the Eucharist? It would be hundreds and hundreds of thousands of souls driving on I-25, which is already a nightmare, to come to the Holy Mass. It would be amazing. On this feast, I want to speak about three things: reverence for the Eucharist, the Eucharistic fast, and our Blessed Mother's role in deepening our love for the Eucharist. So first, reverence for the Eucharist. The Eucharist is not a symbol. It is, in reality, the very flesh and blood of the second person of the Trinity, the God-man, our King, Jesus Christ. The miracle that happens on the altar is far greater than the sign that Jesus gave us in our gospel today, where He multiplied loaves. Jesus is pointing in this miracle to the superabundance of God's love that He wishes to lavish on us. And He does it through the real presence. And so it's important for us to look as Catholics and examine our conscience and say, do I treat the Blessed Sacrament with the reverence of acknowledging that it is truly God? Moses, when he stood before the burning bush, what did he do? He took off his sandals. What do we read throughout Scripture that the angels do but fall on their face in adoration? An important aspect of reverence for the sacrament is that we recapture the importance of silence in the church before and after Mass. This space is dedicated as a house of prayer and worship. It's not the parish hall, nor the parish narthex. We've got wonderful facilities for us to be able to build up fellowship, which is so important in the life of the church. But we want to create a culture of reverence where we don't talk before and after Mass. Because if we're not going to pray as God wills that we do, we should at least respect our neighbors in the church enough to let them pray. But this is a house, a place dedicated where Christ himself dwells in the tabernacle. So without being judgmental towards people that are talking, let's hold each other accountable to creating a culture of reverence and a prayer in our churches, that this can truly be hallowed ground where the peace of Christ reigns. Genuflecting. Somewhere in the last 20 years, it's been unofficially decided that we can replace the genuflection with a bow. Now, I don't know where this came from because it's not the mind of Mother Church. In the liturgy, the lectors are called to bow when they come up and down, and the extraordinary ministers, but everyone else, when we enter the church, we're to genuflect on our right knee, unless we're elderly or physically unable, then we make a profound bow. But the genuflection, as we enter and leave our pews, or whenever we cross the Blessed Sacrament, is meant to be a sign of homage to our Eucharistic King. A prayer I like to pray as I fall on my knees is, Lord, lift me up. It's a sign of humility to fall to the ground before our God and to cry out, lift me up, Lord. The other way we can cherish reverence is for all of us as a community to be vigilant, making sure that everyone who receives the Blessed Sacrament consumes the sacred host. We've had a real tragedy of more and more extraordinary ministers finding that people take the host to their pews. We found them in the pews, in hymnals, on the ground in the narthex. If you see someone that doesn't receive but takes the sacrament back, say something to them. Don't remain quiet. In love, say, I need you either to receive the host right now into your mouth or give it back. But that host is truly God. And there are people, Satanists, who wish to desecrate the Blessed Sacrament. You can go online on places like eBay, and there are people who have taken consecrated hosts to sell on the internet for black satanic masses. So we have to create a culture where we guard the sacrament out of love for Christ and one another. Second, the Eucharistic fast. The church asks and commands that all of us refrain from all food for 1 hour before we receive the Blessed Sacrament. And if we break this fast, not to present ourselves for the Eucharist. It's binding under pain of mortal sin. So it's important that we do this, but we also need to know the reason why. Because rules without relationship lead to rebellion. So it's so important for us to know, okay, here's a rule, but why is this important for my relationship with God? Well, the church wants to remind us that there is a spiritual hunger in our souls that is far deeper than the physical hunger for food. And that spiritual hunger is fostered through the Eucharistic fast before the Eucharist. As we give up eating food, we begin to become more aware of the fact that in less than an hour, God himself will be coming into my soul. It creates anticipation. One of the things that I teach our third graders in our school as they're preparing to receive the Eucharist is I tell them, every day that you know you're going to go to Mass and receive Holy Communion, When you do your morning prayers, let it be the first thing that pops into your mind, that today I get to receive Jesus, who loves me so much. It begins to create this anticipation, this longing to be with the Lord. And it keeps our hearts and refrains them from just falling into autopilot and coming up and saying amen and going back to our pew. Because the more we desire God, the more God will give grace to our souls. Desire is so important in the spiritual life. The more we desire God, the more he will give himself to us. So the fast helps us. Now, much to my own personal dismay, that includes refraining from coffee, which can be hard, especially if you go to morning mass. But it can be a beautiful sacrifice you give to Jesus to prepare the way for the Lord. Lastly, devotion to Our Lady. Something that can help us move away from just routine and the mundaneness of receiving the Eucharist is to reflect in the time before and after communion on the Apostle John, who was entrusted the care of Mary. We know that the early church, the apostles, broke bread. They celebrated the Mass. So it can be very helpful to reflect on Mary attending Mass with the Apostle John. Imagine the reverence and the love she had as she received her son in Holy Communion. Because yes, Mary did receive Holy Communion. What an immense joy, what faith and humility she must have had, what purity. As we reflect on Mary's love for her son in the Eucharist and her own reception, the Holy Spirit will deepen within us faith, hope, and charity as we prepare to receive Jesus. I hope that all of you will discover the joy of Christ in the Eucharist, not only in the time of Holy Communion and during the offering of the sacrifice of the Mass, but that if you haven't already, that you visited our Adoration Chapel. Now, I'm going to do something right now that I'm not supposed to do, okay? I'm going to give you the code to the Adoration Chapel. I want everybody to remember it. Write it down. 1, 2, 3, 4, star. You got it? The Adoration Chapel is open 24/7. You have a crisis in the middle of the night, a blow up with your spouse, you don't know what to do, go sit before Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. You lost your job and you're crying out to heaven, Lord, help me, go sit before Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. You received a great blessing and some good news, you had a grandchild that was born, go thank God in the Eucharist. Let the Blessed Sacrament be the default place you go to be with the Lord who loves you. Any hour of any day, 365 days a year, that chapel is open for us to be with him, our Eucharistic King. Jesus would say to you tonight, seek me out and remain. Remain before my Eucharistic face. Come close to my open heart. Adore me and allow me to heal you, to comfort you, and to sanctify you. Believe in my love for you. My plans are for your happiness, your holiness, and your peace. Have no fear. Listen to me. Open the ears of your heart, and I will speak to you in the sacrament of my love. For there I wait for you.